Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. Thousands of great articles and podcasts up on AmericaOutLoud.com from some of the top conservative contributors from all over the country. You guys want to be sure to head on over there and check that out if you have not done so already. We've got a lot to start off the week talking about tonight, but I want to begin with Joe Biden and his recent trip to Europe, trying to clean up Vice President Kamala Harris's mess. Of course, she went over there about 3 weeks ago, and it was a total disaster. She was totally ill-prepared for all of her speeches and was just an embarrassment. She kept saying things like, through the passage of time. She said that like five times in one speech. This woman is a disaster. And then you look at the resident in chief, as Rob likes to call him, Joe Biden. He went to Europe to try and clean up her mess, and I'm not so sure he did any better. I mean, some of his speeches he gave over there, he was commenting on President Trump in Charlottesville. I'm not sure what that has to do with the war in Ukraine. But yes, Joe Biden once again went to that tired old talking point over there in Europe. In addition to that, he was saying things like Americans are going to be sending troops into Ukraine. The White House had to release a statement saying that is incorrect. So Joe Biden, as usual, has tons of problems over there in Europe, can't even give a coherent speech. Rob, what are your thoughts on what we are currently seeing in the Biden administration, and how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good tonight, Andrew. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight to the show. As usually, Monday's show are the wrap-up show of what happened previous week, and a lot took place. A lot did not take place. And one of the things you said, that he went there to clean up the mess on aisle 13 left by none other than Kamala Harris. I don't even know why he sent her there. I think it was a mission that she was doomed to fail, was setting her up for failure. And she came back, I think, disappointed. Before she went on the trip, I'm sure that many of you know that another one of her staffers have quit. I think in all, probably 10 people have left her staff because of her incompetence. And she has no one to blame but herself. But for Joe Biden to send her on the first leg of the tour to NATO to do what? There were no deliverables. She had nothing to say that this is what the United States is going to do. She just went there and did what she normally does, is just make a complete fool of herself. And no, this is not me attacking her because she's a woman. This is not me attacking her because she's a woman of color. In fact, I'm not even attacking her. I'm speaking truth to power. You look at, we did a collage of videos of her coming out, the little snafus and things that she's saying. Run the tape.
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
And I haven't been to Europe.
I am here, standing here on the northern flank, on the eastern flank, talking about what we have in terms of the eastern flank and our NATO allies.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Because we have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
You see, I'm not making it up. She gets out there and she talks like she's a kindergarten teacher. Ukraine is a country next to Russia, a big country, and they decided to invade this country, and she's using her hands, and we're going to do this. I mean, I don't even have to go into it. You saw the tape. This woman was not ready for this position. Not now, not ever. She tries to pontificate. She tries to say something that's meaningful, but she can't do it. It just doesn't come out that way. So Biden goes out to try and clean it up, the mess that she made. Now, he didn't do any better. As Andrew said, he mentioned that we're going to put troops on the ground. Troops for what? He just casually said it. And see, this is what happens when they send him out with talking points and they tell him only pick these reporters. Now, he'll make the excuse that there are so many reporters that are here that they gave me a list of reporters to call because there's so many and I don't want to miss anyone or get your names wrong. That's a complete lie. He's picking those reporters because they know in advance the questions that they're going to ask. And then once he feels as if though he's found himself in taking the questions and answering the questions, he gets all juiced up. And then he decides, well, I am going to just arbitrarily pick a reporter to ask a question and I'll answer it. And that's when he gets in trouble. And I'm sure, Andrew, that's when his staff, they're like crossing their fingers, taking a deep breath, because they don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. And sure enough, what does he say? Sanctions aren't meant to deter. But Mr. President, you said previously, or your staffer said back in the States, that it was meant to deter. And that's the reason why you were putting on the sanctions rather late than earlier on. Run the tape.
I did not say that, in fact, the sanctions would deter him. Sanctions never deter.
The president believes that sanctions are intended to deter.
The purpose of the sanctions, in the first instance, is to try to deter Russia from going to war.
We want them to have a deterrent effect, clearly, and he hasn't invaded yet.
The allied relationship is such that we have agreed that the deterrence effect of these sanctions is still a meaningful one.
Sanctions are not an end to themselves. They serve a higher purpose, and that purpose is to deter and prevent.
Okay, who do we believe? Him or them? And it really shouldn't be a him or them, Andrew. They should all be in unison with the message.
From an average American's perspective, also, now that they're paying extra in gas and groceries and all these other things, and Biden blamed Russia for this, some of them were justifying it by saying, okay, well, at least Russia is getting sanctioned and it's hurting them. Well, it comes out Biden says that it's not hurting them. Apparently, everyone's paying extra in gas for no reason at all, because if sanctions don't work, why not buy gas from Russia if it doesn't help them? That's the logic that Joe Biden wants people to use, and it makes no sense.
It is a logic, and it's unfortunate that the biased media are going along with it. They're spinning it to make him look good. No one wanted to cover the fact that he made a huge mistake when he said no sanctions don't deter. Well, then what is the purpose? Now, let's be honest. We all know that sanctions don't work. Look at Iran. We've sanctioned Putin before. But if they have an outlet like China, who's going to come in and fill in the gap, it's useless. Now, just imagine had Biden said, we're going to do this before so that Putin will feel it in his pocket and he'll see that we're serious. And if he goes any farther, we're going to hurt him with more sanctions. But that just didn't happen. And it didn't happen simply because President Biden is afraid. He's leading from behind as opposed to leading out front. Now, I'm sure you guys have heard about Maria Yanonovich. I think she was the ambassador at Ukraine, and she was one of the impeachment speakers. I think it was the first impeachment of Donald Trump, President Trump. And she came out saying all this stuff with Trump did this and did that. Well, she's out now saying that Putin didn't have a reason to invade Ukraine when Trump was in office because everything that he wanted was going his way. Now, just think about this. that he didn't have a need to invade Ukraine because he could just sit back and let the good times roll with Trump. Now, she's coming out saying this because everyone else is saying, and many people on the left, talking pundits, are saying that if Trump were in office, this would have never happened. Run the tape.
The Pax Americana of the past three decades is over. You can see signs of this everywhere. Consider that, according to the Wall Street Journal, the leaders of the UAE and Saudi Arabia, two countries that have depended on Washington for their security for decades, refused to even take phone calls from the American president.
If Putin thought Trump was really that supportive of him, why didn't he invade when Trump was in office? It's at least worth asking that question if you're not locked into one intransigent thought.
Apparently, Saudi Arabia won't even pick up the phone for the president of the United States. I mean, look, I know it's hard to arrange those calls. You know, Riyadh is 8 hours ahead. Biden is asleep by 4 p.m. It's a narrow window to make it work. You can say what you want, but this would have never happened to Donald Trump.
Okay, Bill Maher, Trevor Noah. Can't get much better than that. These are liberal icons. They look up to them. Zaki Farad. They're all in agreement that if Trump were president, this would not have happened. So she wants to come out, Maria, and say, oh, no, that's not true. Because she gives them more, them being the left, a little credibility with them saying, well, no, there was Russia collusion. Now, if anyone is out there still saying Russia collusion, you're just as dumb as you want to be, because it has been proven not to be so. Now, some of you will say, well, Bill Barr, he didn't let Mueller come out with his complete report and he summarized it. Well, Bob Mueller, as we all saw when he came out, was completely clueless as to what was happening. He had his minions writing the report for him, his minions who were Trump haters, who did everything possible to try to bring down Trump. They lied, they cheated. They even had Adam Schiff and people on the Hill, elected officials working with them, coming out each day saying that, oh, we've got the information. No, just think about this. If they had one scintilla of information, it would have already leaked. And the stuff that they were leaking was just innuendo, gossip, nothing concrete, but they had us all believing it. So now you have her coming out, Maria, saying that, oh no, he didn't have to, he being Putin didn't have to invade because the good times are rolling. No, that's not the case. He didn't do it because Trump picked up the phone at the time. He said, if you do, your little nice gardens, they won't be anymore. So you better put your gun back in his holster. Whereas Biden said, well, I told them if they do it, they can just, you know, just a little bit. There are certain things that they can't do. It's just a minor excursion. And then for the cyber attacks, they can't do this. Run the tape.
I talked about the proposition that certain critical infrastructure should be off limits to attack, period, by cyber or any other means. I gave them a list. If I'm not mistaken, I don't have it in front of me, 16 specific entities, 16 defined as critical infrastructure under U.S. policy. From the energy sector to our water systems.
There you have it. You have effective leadership with President Trump, and then you have a dismal leadership under Biden. Hence his reason for going overseas. It doesn't make things look any better. If anything, we look bad because you have these world leaders looking at this frail man who doesn't know what he's doing, trying to pontificate. Now, they've already decided, these European countries, as to what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. While the media is saying Biden put together a very great coalition. A coalition of what? These European countries weren't even speaking out. And then when they did, as Poland did, they said, no, we're going to give them javelins. We're going to give them the MiGs that they want. But we're going to fly it out of your Air Force base in Germany. After Biden came out and said that Poland wouldn't do it, they say, hey, we're going to do it. And then what does he have to say? Well, let's go back to the drawing board. People, this is not leadership. It's not leadership at its finest. It's the worst kind of thing you could ever do. to put an old man out front to represent the greatest country. Now, so many people said that, oh, you know, under President Trump, we just failed in our stature. No, we didn't. These countries respected us. Now we're not respected at all. Andrew, did you see the other day with little Rocket Man and his Hollywood made for movie video of him launching or preparing to launch one of his rockets?
I did see
that. It was hilarious. Now, do you think he would have done that under Trump? Maybe. But you know what? He would have gotten a phone call and Trump would have told him, remember, mine is bigger than yours. And if you want to hold on to power, you better watch it.
To be a good leader, you need to be decisive. And Joe Biden is anything but decisive. The guy has no idea what he's saying half the time. And we've just heard recently, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Joe Biden's two-hour phone call with President Z. Well, top Republicans from the House Intel Committee are now saying that they want to see the transcripts for that conversation. Apparently, not much has been made public other than what Joe Biden said. And of course, President Z had something completely different to say about the phone call than what Joe Biden had to say. Apparently, they behaved like they were on two different phone calls. But the Republicans want to see the phone call, and I think that's a good idea. You got to see what this guy was talking to him about, what he might have promised them, where did he mess up and have some glitches like he always does. It'll be interesting to see what comes of that. But here in Europe, he's on a one-on-one basis with a lot of these leaders. And like Rob said, who knows what he's telling them, what he might be promising them. It's an absolute disaster.
Who knows what he's telling them, but I'm sure that they're looking at him and wondering, oh my gosh, this guy has really aged since the last time we saw him. Because he's been on the stage with these guys for almost 30-something years. He's seen them come in and out. And they're probably saying, well, the guy that we met the last time, he was in better shape. But Joe, when you think about it, he had met with them once before, I think last year, when he was walking from behind and Jill had to say, come on, Joe, let's go. And everyone thought it was funny. And Andrew, have you noticed how he's always trying to crack a joke? I don't know if it's out of nervousness, but the jokes fall flat. He went to our military guys and he told them, now don't you all jump up, because I know you guys are used to jumping up. I'm like, what? No, is that a reference to what Kamala Harris has been lamenting about, that when she walks in the room, no one stands up? Did you hear about that? I think she, it was leaked by one of her staffers, of course. It might have been Jill getting them to leak it. Because I'm sure Jill Biden has some inside folks in Kamala's staff to report back to her what's going on. Because, again, the two don't like each other. And that's a whole different topic altogether. You have two women who's supposed to have a lot of power that don't like each other. What does that tell you about America in itself? These two women on the same stage and they don't get along. You would think Jill would call Kamala and say, come over to the White House, let's talk. But Kamala would say, Madam First Lady, can we have a meeting of the minds? Let's talk. Or they would have a date night. No, they're not having any of that. So if they can't get along, yes, I'm going to go there, on this huge world stage, what do you think of your average woman getting along on the workforce? I'm just saying, Andrew, I'm just putting it out there, because we've all heard the stories of women not being able to work together. So what does that tell you? Well, I'll tell you this, Andrew, when I look out the land, maybe they weren't designed to work together because maybe they don't know that they're women. I mean, according to the new Supreme Court nominee, Ketanji Brown Jackson, or Jackson Brown, is it Brown Jackson or Jackson Brown? Whichever one. Well, why do I care? She doesn't know if she's a man or a woman. She doesn't know what she is because she's not a biologist. So should I really spend much time trying to get her name together? Absolutely not, I guess. So maybe that's the reason why these two beings whom we thought were women can't get along, because now there's a new definition of a woman.
Well, here's also another interesting assumption about that situation. You remember when Joe Biden was running for president, he constantly said that he would only be a one-term president. He would not run for a second term. He's just coming in to take out Trump, is the way he put it. Well, you know, when Kamala Harris heard that, she was hoping that Joe Biden would prop her up and set her up to be the next candidate in 2024. Now she is hearing that Joe Biden's going to run for office again And she's got to be furious. And she knows that Jill Biden is behind Joe Biden running for office again, because Jill Biden, I believe, is pulling Joe Biden's strings. So it's an interesting situation. Kamala badly wants to be president, but here's Joe Biden, who just won't step down, who's going to run for president once again. I think that's a lot of animosity between Kamala, Jill, and Joe.
There is a lot of animosity, and that's the reason why they can't get anything right. That is the reason why they keep stumbling over everything, because she thought he was going to come in and then turn it over to her. And it didn't happen. And I had said earlier on, Jill wasn't going to let that happen. By no means was she going to just like roll over and allow Kamala to come in. And in a way, Andrea, I got to say, I mean, maybe it's for the best. I mean, they're both incompetent, Joe and Kamala. So replace one incompetence for another. And of course, if they had her, the only thing she would do is laugh and cackle. And I mean, does she not realize that she's in over her head? Does she not realize this is by her? No one else has designed this. Yes, Jill, there's a possibility that Jill has it in for her and doing a little things on the side. But when she's overseas, this is her opportunity to shine. She can chart her own course by saying something, making some fantastic speech or doing something fantastic. But it's not just that, Andrew. I mean, I know that Jill is behind a lot of the little pitfalls that she's stepping into and these little assignments that Biden is giving to her. But the media also does not like her. And what they're doing is they're making it seem as if though it's the right that they're constantly attacking her because of her race and because of she's a woman, her gender. I mean, think about it. They can very easily cover for her the way they're covering for him. They can very easily say, oh, what she's doing is a great job, but they don't and they won't. They let all of this stuff seep into the public domain because they don't like her. They truly don't like her. And they've probably seen her behind the scenes and they're probably saying she is a nasty woman. Yes, I said it. Now, you can go down the rabbit hole and say, well, he meant this and he meant that. No, come on. They're saying the exact same thing. She has a nasty attitude. She doesn't know what she doesn't know, but she thinks she knows everything. She feels that when she walks into the room, everyone should stand up. Look, you're not the Empress of China. We're not standing up for you. So she gets mad about that. She's mad that the Vogue cover that she was on made her look like some simple person, but I thought they thought it was a great idea. Maybe she should have called Michelle and told Michelle, Michelle, can you get them to pull that back? Has she even called Michelle Obama? When I say Michelle, I'm speaking of Michelle Obama. Have they even talked? There should be a sisterhood here. We're the first at this. Let me show you how to navigate the waters. But I don't think it's happened. Again, you look at this. These women on this huge stage, and they can't get along. They don't have each other's backs. You don't see them with girl chat or talking and saying, oh yeah, I spoke with her and she told me this. You don't see any of that.
Do you think it's possible that Joe Biden would have the guts to select someone else for his vice president when he runs again in 2024? I don't think he's got the guts to turn down Kamala, to act like he's rejecting a Black woman. I think he's just going to try and keep moving along business as usual.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't have the guts to do it. And if he did, the media would probably give him cover. They would give her an outing so that she could bow out gracefully. Or they would find dirt on her husband and then force her out, which I think is a more likelihood than her just bowing out and him saying, I need to pick someone else. I think that Jill and her camp would find dirt on the husband from his legal dealings, that she would say, I'm going to bow out. I need to deal with this. I need to deal with this from a personal family type level. Now, I'm just weighing into this. You know, I'm being really catty now. I really don't think that marriage is tight, but that's just me. When you look at her past, and you look at the people that she's been with, and as we've said, we know how she got to the top. Let's just be honest about it. So, yeah, that's the only way I think that she would step down, is that if something happened with the husband on a legal aspect. And then they would say, hey, you got to go because you're going to drag down the ticket. But then who would Joe pick? Stacey Abrams, the fictional president of the Earth? Yeah, right. Because the person that he picked would definitely have designs to know that he's not going to last long. So we got to make certain that we pick someone who's going to go with the flow and not try to do him in. And as Jill said, allegedly, from this book that's coming out from the New York Times, and again, you have to take that with a grain of salt because we know how they just make up things whole cloth. They dream it up. Oh, this would be good in a book. Let's make it up. And they have all done it from 2016 up until now. When President Trump was the president, we know, like Maggie Haberman, she just made up everything. Oh, I was in the Pride House and they told me this. It's like, Maggie, please stop lying. And no one challenged her on it because we don't have an inquisitive media. So back to what I was saying about Jill, and she had said allegedly in this book that out of all the millions of people out there, why does he have to pick Kamala? Well, Jill, Obama told him to pick Kamala. Barack Obama. Now, I don't think Michelle told him to, because I don't think Michelle gets along with Kamala after Barack Obama said that she was good looking. So you got to talk to Barack Obama about that. And Barack Obama, I mean, maybe he thought that she was smart, or maybe he was just enamored with her looks. I got to say, when she first came on the scene and she became the Attorney General of California, they say this was the first, I thought she was sharp. And you know why? Because I was looking at the aesthetics. I wasn't looking at the accomplishments. I'm like, wow, she's good looking. Maybe right. She is smart.
In but fairness, now I don't think anyone realized how dumb she was at the time.
You know, well, you think of, I guess not, Andrew. She had everyone fooled. But you see, that's how the media covered for her, because they saw her as a rising star. Now, they knew that there was no substance behind her. They knew that she had withheld a lot of information that could have, exculpatory information, I might add, that would have kept Black men out of jail. They knew all of this. But see, they were okay with it. You know why? Because that's how the left rolls. The left, they're completely racist. They don't like Black men. So they were okay with her doing that. And then once she came out, they tried to cover it up. They say, oh, no, we're for Blacks. We're for this. Folks, just look at the history. And I see all these Black people coming out saying, oh, Black women power, Black women, she did this, she did that. I'm like, you're not looking at what's happening before your eyes. You're not looking at it. Simply because they roll out a Black woman and they say, this is the person, this is the it woman, you guys start singing her praises. And if you thought she was so good, why didn't you guys vote for her when she was in the primaries? Why did she, well, you couldn't vote for her because she stepped out because she knew that she wasn't going to get any votes. But see, no one is looking at this. That this woman bowed out of the first primary because she knew that she wasn't polling good and she wasn't going to win during the first primary in Iowa or New Hampshire. So she stepped aside, and she stepped aside, and what did she say? They're not ready for a strong woman. Okay, well, if that's the case, why are you the vice president or the vice resident? But no one is going to call this out. We don't have an inquisitive media to go to her and say, but wait a minute, you said this. So are you changing your mind? You said that the country was a bunch of misogynists and racists. Are you changing your mind now? Because how do you think you would help the ticket if that's the case? Will they vote for you? But no one is thinking about it, Andrew. They're just, oh, she's there. You better love her. And now we see that she wasn't ready for prime time. Now we see that Joe Biden had to go over and clean up the mess on aisle 13 that was created by none other than Kamala Harris, who wants to be a first, and in actuality, she's third or fourth, plain and simple.
Yeah, and my opinion is something that you won't hear on mainstream media, that's for sure, but I'm really conflicted on how to feel about Russia and what's going on over there with the Democrats, because you look at what the Democrats have done to America here at home, the way they treated President Trump, the way they stopped him from getting things done and helping the American people. They seem to me to be the number one enemy here at home is the Democrats, not Russia. That's just the way I feel. I think the Democrats are the most dangerous threat to our country, and we're seeing that play out in Joe Biden's administration. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
This is Dr. Peter McCullough. Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the immune super boost that I need. Go to healthycell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 120 times per month. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains full effective doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day, pill-free, ultra-absorption ingestible gel. It tastes great, comes in a convenient squeeze gel pack, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
People often ask me, Malcolm, how do we fight the corruption? Robert Frost has said it best, freedom lies in being bold. Well, for 6 incredible years, bold is America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
And we're back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And we want to thank you for tuning in to the second half of our show tonight. And we're pretty much just doing a recap of old Joe's visit overseas, trying to, I guess, clean up. We're not trying to, but yeah, he is trying to, because I don't know if he was successful. I don't think he was successful, Andrew. The mess made on aisle 13 by our girl, Kamala Harris. And we're just talking about her ascension to the top and what her political aspirations are. I'm sure that she wants to be the president, but she's out of her league, just as Joe is out of his league. And he's there overseas looking like a complete zombie, so to speak. And I'm always fascinated, Andrew, when you look at him. He ages so quickly. And I've said before that I think this in part is due to the things that he's gone through in his life on a personal level, with his son Bo dying when he was in office. And that took a huge toll on him. And I think out of all of his kids, I think Bo might have been the apple of his eye, because he had gone to law school. He was in the military, he was married with the family, and from looking on the outside, it seems as though he had a rather lovely family. And then to be hit and taken out by cancer, brain cancer, I'm sure that must have been devastating, especially knowing that the other son was a complete screw-up, Hunter. Yeah.
Then you've got what Hunter has put him through over the years with all of his drug addiction and who knows what else this guy has been into. I mean, a lot of it's online and it's not pretty.
Yeah, it's so he must, this has to be weighing on him, because Hunter, and not just that with Hunter, you look at the fact that this whole thing with the laptop that they tried to hide and to say that it did not exist and that it was Russia disinformation. I mean, these folks blame Russia for everything. I would imagine if Joe has constipation, he would say that's Russia. But he came out and said it was Russia disinformation, and it wasn't. He said it throughout the campaign. So now we're seeing that, and we all knew that it wasn't Russia disinformation. And I would probably say everyone in America, everyone in the world probably knew that it wasn't Russia disinformation. And that's the reason why big tech and social media tried to cover it up, because they knew that it wasn't Russia disinformation. And this whole thing with, well, we want the truth out there. We don't want fake news. What do you mean? When did they become the arbiters of what's real and what's not? Because if that's the case, they're not real. Who made them the arbiters of what's real, what's not real, what's fake? This should not be. That censorship coming from these huge companies, these tech companies, Andrew, it's dangerous. And our senators and representatives should be looking at this and saying, this is not right. Now, the only time the folks on the left will make a big uproar about it is when it starts to affect them. If the right is successful with those social media platforms and it becomes huge, then they'll want to censor it, because they'll feel that their voices aren't being heard. But right now, they're okay. And it is dangerous. It is extremely dangerous. It is so dangerous that we have Joe Biden, who's probably compromised. And that's the reason why he didn't want to act as he should have with Ukraine. You think back before Ukraine took place. This man was running out every day with his hair on fire saying that they're going to attack, they're going to invade, they're going to invade. Well, Joe, if that were the case, why didn't you go ahead and provide the Ukrainians with the necessary arsenals that they would need to defend themselves? Or did you feel that it would have been a foregone conclusion that no matter what, they would have lost or they were going to lose? I mean, maybe that was his reasoning, that even if we were to give them anything, they're going to lose. Whereas the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, he was walking around doing his regular thing. He was overseas meeting with different people, and he was criticized for it. But he said, we don't think they're going to invade. But then once they did, they've been successful. And it all depends on how you define successful. What is success? I mean, he has been a very instrumental leader, strong, which is something that we don't have here in America. I'm just speaking truth to power. And this is America, and this is the greatest country in the world, and I love it, but we have to speak truth to power. That Joe is a complete failure. But Zelensky has demonstrated what a strong leader should be. He's always out front. Now, if he's in Ukraine, I don't know. I mean, he's hiding extremely well, if that's the case, but he's spoken to all these Western countries and saying, hey, we need for you to help us. We need for you to do this. He's been decisive as to what they need to be successful.
At what point is Zelensky getting heat for not stepping down and just letting Russia have what they want? I mean, this guy's just sitting on the sidelines, probably not even in Ukraine, and just allowing thousands of his citizens to get slaughtered. Ukraine is a piece of crap, corrupt country, and Russia is a corrupt country as well. To me, it's just like these two corrupt countries going to war. It should have nothing to do with us. We should not be sending them any weapons. And it'll be interesting to see when the tides turn and eventually Zelensky starts getting some heat for allowing this to happen to his people, because I don't think he has Ukrainians' best interest at heart. And we'll see what happens the more and more people that get killed, if he ever looks like he will quit and forfeit the war.
Well, you're right. That's a good point. And just so that our listeners will know, we're not switching our position. We think that what he has done, we give him credit for it. But as we said earlier on during our discussions with journalist Heather Robinson, is that all he had to do was just say, we're not going to join NATO. And I don't think this would have happened. And if it did, it wouldn't have been the way it did. Let's just admit, the country has been devastated. He's just wiped out a lot of buildings. Now, they're saying that they're holding on, but holding on to what? That's what I don't understand, Andrew. What exactly are they holding on to?
Exactly.
I mean, the Capitol, I think that they probably, like, is it the building, just the physical building they need to destroy? Or is it that Putin hasn't been able just to move someone else in and say, okay, this is the president? Because if he wants to do it, he could do it. It's just that Zelensky will keep coming out. And maybe that's the end game. He wants to cut off the head, that talking head, and say, okay, he's gone. Now this person will come in and say, I'm the president. But who would want to be the president? Because the country has been obliterated. Thousands have died, possibly millions, and millions have left the country, fleeing into Poland and surrounding areas. So what's the end game here? Just to say that, hey, I held them off? I mean, like I said, I commend them. It's been a month. And we now see that Putin's army, there is a pathetic army. And the only thing he probably has is nuclear weapons. And now I'm beginning to wonder if he in fact has that. Because you would think he would have wanted to save himself the embarrassment and just move in and say, okay, he's gone, that's it. But maybe that's the end game for Putin, is to silence Zelensky. If he's able to silence Zelensky, he knows, okay, it's done. But it's been a month now, and you have not been able to do it. But back to what I was saying about Biden, why didn't he provide them earlier on, since he kept saying that it was going to happen, as opposed to put the country through all this bloodshed? And then the point that you had brought up, Andrew, eventually, people are going to look at him and start blaming him and saying, look, dude, I mean, you said that we held our ground, but to what extent? Our country has been destroyed. Who's going to help us rebuild? What European countries are going to come in and help us? I mean, it's horrible when you look at it, but I mean, just if you want a story to say, hey, you got a David defeating Goliath, there's a story, but look at the end game, or what to what end was he able to do it? Now, I'm sure that there are some little small pockets of Ukraine that's still functioning and it's has not been destroyed, because I'm hearing that some people are still going to restaurants and going about their daily lives. But where? Because when you look at the map, Russia has just completely surrounded the country and taking over with their missiles. And I mean, it looks like a horrible landmine that they've just blown up everything. So I don't know, Andrew. I scratch my head. And then you have Biden coming out saying that the United States has taken in 100,000 Ukrainians and that we need to do more. Okay, fine. But what about the other European countries? What about Germany? Let Germany bear some of the brunt. And why are we, again, 100,000 Ukrainians? That's more than the size of some cities and towns here in the United States. Is that another voting block?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. More Democrat voters from the Ukraine. Joe Biden's going to keep trying to ship them in. And then Poland, they're taking way more Ukrainian refugees than we are. They're taking thousands and thousands of them. And Joe Biden, talking to Poland, said, oh, we understand our southern border. I mean, we get them coming in by the thousands every single day. It's like, well, at least he finally admits it. Our southern border is a disaster.
It's a disaster, but the countries surrounding Ukraine, they're not being invaded the way we're being invaded. The countries around Ukraine, these people are fleeing for their lives because of Russia. And you can say because of the president, their president, you know, made a bad decision and not just didn't want to come out and say, we're not going to join NATO. NATO wasn't going to let them in. Whereas in the United States, we're being invaded. We have invaders at our borders that are saying they're refugees. No, you're not. Your country is not kicking you out. Or we're fleeing from the drug lords. No, you're not. Some of these people are coming as far away from other countries as well, coming through our southern border. Let's just be honest here. And when it's all said and done, we're going to look at this and we will rue the day, because we'll find out that we have a lot of people here that should not be here. And they're going to start creating trouble, just like the crime wave that we see going on right now. A lot of those folks coming here will start setting up their own little drug cartels, setting up their own little criminal enterprises. That's what we're going to be up against. And this is all thanks to the Democrats and their, well, we want to make the country brown. We want to make it more brown. Make it more brown as opposed to what? tell me, what more brown as opposed to what? To white? Okay, no, you're being a racist. But you see, people don't think in those terms. They don't think, they're only thinking, oh, well, we want to do this. Yeah, but what are you talking about? Make it more brown for what? So you're talking about segregation again. And the bringing those people here doesn't help at all. What does it do? Now we've got to support them. So while Biden is over Ukraine saying we're going to bring in 100 more and we need to do more. No, we don't. From a humanitarian standpoint, we can take care of the people, help the other countries take care of them. And why are we trying to do it anyway if no one is listening to us? Maybe this is what NATO is doing, is telling Biden, you need to take 100,000. We're not taking any more because you messed up. So he's there wanting to visit the refugees there. He better not go to the Ukrainian border, Andrew. He better not go there when he can't go to our border. And Kamala can't go to our border and clean up the mess and that aisle 13. But you're going to go there? I don't think so. It's ridiculous. But yet and still, here we are. So as I was saying, we opened up about Biden taking his position. And taking the position, he probably stole the position as the resident because he's looking at his son, you know, that Hunter is a complete failure. And he's also involved with this whole Ukrainian deal thing. I mean, I'm sure he's got more money. And where is he, by the way? Is he in Dr. Fauci somewhere holding company?
Painting.
What did you say?
Hunter, I think he's painting, making millions more. On his paintings.
Yeah. Painting. The entire family is just a criminal enterprise. All of them. It's a criminal enterprise. Joe should have never been there. His mind wasn't in it. But as he said when he went overseas, as you alluded to, that he had to because he had to take down the current person who was in the office. Like, Joe, do you actually think that you did it by yourself? No. And you didn't even do it legally. Well, I won't say he didn't do it legally. I'll say that he didn't do it fairly. Because when you look at what a lot of these things that they did, as Attorney General Barr said, that is it legal? They cheated. When you look at the Jeff Zuckerberg did in Wisconsin and spending almost $100 million to change the pollings and who was overseeing it, man, that's now we could say that it was legal if we were to apply the law accordingly, as the Democrats are so successful in doing, getting judges to see things their way. So that the election, you know, from 2020, Andrew, that thing was so messed up.
Right. And this is how bad our voting laws are, that there are things like voter harvesting and other outlets to where Democrats can just rack up thousands of votes without people even going to the polls. What's worth keeping an eye on that I think is interesting is if you want to take the 2020 election like it was real, say that Joe Biden really did get 80 million votes, President Trump got 74 million votes. I don't think there's a single voter that voted for Trump that regrets that vote right now. You've got to think that there are a lot more than 6 million people or whatever the difference was that voted for Joe Biden that are ashamed of their vote and would not vote like that again. Just if you look at the hundreds or thousands of dollars out of their bank account since Joe Biden has been in office, that otherwise would still be there if we had a real competent leader like President Trump.
You are spot on. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there having voters' remorse. Now, the media will tell them, oh, no, don't. It's okay. You got to look at things this way and it's going to be okay. The same way they're saying that inflation is okay. The same way they're saying that gas prices is okay. The same way that they're blaming Putin for the gas prices as they blame Putin for Trump being elected. I mean, these people cannot just own up to their own mistakes. They always have to blame someone else. But I agree with you. You know, Trump 74, not one person regret the vote that they made for Trump, 74 million. Whereas with Biden, I'm sure that there are a lot of buyer's remorse, a lot of voters saying, oh my God. But they're too chicken to come out and just say it. But this is what happened. Look at the carnage that he has brought on this country. And don't come tell me about, well, COVID. No, COVID was a ruse. They used the COVID shutdown to push their crazy agendas. And as we spoke about one of our other shows, that 18-month shutdown, the freedoms that we lost, that a lot of people are completely unaware of, it's just astronomical. The way they change things in society, the way they try to change things, the way they're still trying to change things. That shutdown brought us Ketanji Brown Jackson not knowing if she's a woman or not. And having all these men walking around saying that they're women. I mean, just think about it. A man can say that he is a woman, but a woman can't say that she's a woman. It makes no sense. And we spoke about this in our show last week. But this is what happened when Joe came in. Look at the devastation. Under Trump, we had none of this. We were respected. And if countries even thought about taking over another country, he put some fire on their butts. Look at Syria. Look at Iran when he took out their main general. And what did the media say? Oh, he was a scholar. He loved to read books and he was well-read. It's like, are you serious? I mean, do you remember reading that, Andrew? It was Soleimani, I think.
Yeah, like, Soleimani.
Soleimani, I'm thinking, are you? And they were praising him. And they even showed clips of his funeral. Oh, the people came out and they were lamenting because the United States did this and they said there will be retribution. But this guy was such a scholar. He was so smart.
Yeah, the media actually tried to come out and act like it was a bad thing that President Trump took out this brutal dictator with tons of American blood on his hands instead of getting him the credit that he deserved.
Because people slept. They blinked, as we said on one of our last shows. They blinked, and this is what happened. Because at any other time, people would have pushed back and said, wait a minute, this man killed one of my loved ones, and you're now trying to prop him up? Well, look at what they did with George Floyd. Can you believe it? And Andrew, I think the other day you had shown me an article whereby in, I think it's Seattle, some of the rioters, they're going to get $14 million.
Denver, Colorado.
Okay, Denver. $14 million. For what?
Eight people are going to split $14 million because of in 2020 when the riots were going down, the city had curfews and whatnot. And here you've got these rioters out in their hard hats and their goggles and everything else. And apparently the cops seen them. They were out past curfew and they got shot with rubber bullets. So they sued the city, basically saying that they did not have their First or Fourth Amendment. They were both violated and that they were injured during the assault from the police officers. And the city gave up without much of a fight, just gave them $14 million for eight people to split, which is still a really big payday.
A big payday. Whereas you have the officers who were probably killed, their families probably got nothing. You have 13 soldiers who were killed in Afghanistan. I would like to contact their family members to find out, what did they get? Well, they didn't have an insurance policy. Well, we paid for the funeral, and then there was another payout, and they probably got all of $10,000 or $20,000 at most. But the millions of dollars that these rioters that destroyed the city, George Floyd family got like $48 million. $48 million for what? $48 million. For what?
Yeah, Breonna Taylor's family cashed in, I believe, over $10, $11 million in that range.
For what? I don't get it. It's part of the whole reparation thing. That's what they're doing. They're looking at this and they're adding that in on it. I can assure you that of George Floyd's life, he would not have been worth $48 million. That is ridiculous. It's crazy. And I've said this once before, and I know that a lot of people don't agree with it, and that's fine. But even the American Indians, we're still compensating them for what? Why are they still on the welfare list? Why are they still getting these special privileges? Well, because of what we did to their people. Okay, that happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Why has that not stopped? If they have not been able to pick themselves up by the bootstraps from everything that we've given them, it ain't gonna happen. But this should not be in perpetuity whereby we're constantly giving them all these tax breaks and no one else is getting it. Casinos on the reservations, no one else is getting it. Why are they getting it?
We've got to cut this crap out. I mean, think about it. Why are they getting it? Well, because this was their country. What do you mean? You can say that of any country in the world. You can say that of Europe. You can say that of Afghanistan, Iraq. Countries overtook other countries. People came and settled. Survival of the fittest. Do you see tigers and lions complaining? What? And hey, that's a good point right there. What are we going to compensate all the animals that lost their habitat because we were building houses? How are we going to compensate them? Well, we're going to compensate them by saying, don't eat meat. Eat vegetables. I don't know if you heard that article that came out, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, with these liberals, elitists, saying that because food prices are so high, you shouldn't eat meat, eat lentils. And that if your pet gets sick, your dog has cancer, don't spend $10,000, just let the pet go away. Did you read that article, Andrew?
I did see that. It's unbelievable what they're expecting.
This is crazy. But I'm like, we are so busy trying to compensate, try to change this and change that. And it's all these liberal ideas that when you stop and think about it and say, wait, this makes absolutely no sense. Because once you start it, it just keeps going and going and going. So all these people with these big settlements, nope, should not happen. In Denver, Colorado, they need to appeal it because those individuals should not get one red cent. What did David Dorn get? The officer who was killed on camera. Compliments of those black youths killed. But this is a mentality of the left. This is what we got when Joe Biden came in. Now, of course, if Trump were there, he would have weighed in on it and said, $14 million for what? They don't deserve that. And they, people would have immediately said, he's a racist. He doesn't want them to get the money. He's a racist. No, he's being common. He's applying common sense. It does not make sense. But in Joe Biden's world, this is what happens. Because, you know, they're still pushing AOC. She still wants him to forgive student debt. He doesn't have the power to do that. That needs to be legislated. If you're going to make the debt, you need to pay the debt. But this is where we are with these knuckleheads trying to make like they're the president and vice president. In actuality, as I said, they're just a resident. So everything that we're encountering right now is because of them and their partners in crime, the liberal media, and big tech. Because if it were any other way, we would not be in this situation. Trump was bombastic. Trump was loud. Trump sent out mean tweets. He was indifferent. He didn't like, okay, if you're going to hit me, I'm going to hit back. Maybe he fought too much. But you know what? He was respected outside of the United States. And he was respected in the United States by the individuals that supported him. And the folks that didn't support him, they knew this man is onto something, but we want someone who's going to be, you know, jolly and nice and like Joe Biden. It's a disgrace, Andrew, and it's sad. So we go around the world and we clean up all the messes that we have made. But when we leave more trash on the ground and more of a mess than when we arrived.
Yeah, well said, Rob. Great discussion tonight. We appreciate you all joining us on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. It's coming up on its 6th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora. Wherever you download your podcasts, be sure to search America Out Loud and like and subscribe. We appreciate that. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.